campo.
Kufar Akbar, everybody, hi. This is another edition of Radio Free Kafiristan. This is indeed a radio program dedicated to rightly dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We examine the evidence for both of these faiths in order to arrive at the truth that leads us to this end. Thus go I. Shalom, peace and blessings. This, of course, is your humble host, Eric Thekifer, coming to you live from the cavernous depths of Dar al Harb, Kafiristan. We are here every Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and on the West Coast, I think it's 3 o'clock out there. I don't think it ever changes. I might be wrong on that. But tonight we are again live casting, and we are multitasking fools here. We are broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio and the Global Patriot Radio Network. We are broadcasting on the StreamYard platform. We are broadcasting to two of the Facebook pages, Radio Free Kafiristan and Cross and Crescent Discussion Group, and to the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group YouTube, which I didn't get in there right away. And so Chris did me a favor by making sure that I was in there. And you know what I didn't set, Chris? I don't think I went in there and set that. Can you go in there and set those parameters for me to allow the people to chat in the content? You know what I'm talking about, Chris?
Yeah, I can't, because I'd have to sign into your YouTube to do that.
Okay, so, all right, well,
Once we get started with the show, just go ahead and flip it over then.
Okay, yeah, all right, because I can't get to it right now. It's, anyway, all right, so let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to do tonight. Tonight, we're going to be discussing the best, or in this case, maybe the worst, of the EF Dawah team out of England. This is a group of Islamic apologists. You could actually call them Islamic polemicists because they spend probably about 80% of their time talking about Christianity and only spending a small amount of time trying to propagate their own faith. They figured that if they could tear down the religion of Christianity and cause somebody to have a crisis of faith, kind of like somebody by the name of Yasakati. Oh, no, that was a crisis of knowledge. Was it a crisis of knowledge? It doesn't matter. Boy, he smithed that one really good. But anyway, this is what these guys do. So tonight we're going to play some video clips that from them, and we're going to try to have a discussion on some of the things that they have to say and how they're wrong. So we're going to spend the majority of the night doing that. Once we get done, I want to talk about, if we can, I'm going to compare and contrast Muhammad and Jesus, but I don't think we're going to be able to get to that tonight.
I'm sorry to, like, you cannot compare and contrast Muhammad and Jesus. Okay, you want to compare Muhammad, compare him with Paul, with John, with anybody else, but like you can't even compare Jesus with Muhammad. It's incomparable.
Okay. Well, I don't have notes for Paul tonight. I only got my notes for Jesus. And plus, it is the season, Adam.
How can, like, you want to compare Satan with somebody? Like, seriously speaking?
We should do that. Compare Satan with... No, that would...
Muhammad.
I think that would be over the top. No, that would be over the top. That, I mean, you know... But I can think of a lot of Okay, so let's go ahead and get to this video before we get ourselves into too much trouble.
By the way, I have compared Allah with Satan. And according to Quran, and all the things that Satan is doing, Allah is doing. So you can guess they are almost equal. So he is the mudil, he is the mudil. He is the muhil, he is the muhil. He is the marker, he does the marker, he does the marker. So, like, he leads astray, he leads astray. He does mutakabbir, he's proud, he's proud. Like, if you compare the two...
Well, maybe we should do... Let's go ahead and do that next week, then. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, that's... Because there's a lot of things I could think of just off the top of my head, but I mean, that would be a very Tory show, and that's kind of what we do on Radio Free Kaffir Sound. Sunday we tone it down, but here we just let it fly. Okay, so what we're going to do is we are going to you have to remind me to share No. Let's put this back. Hold on. Let me put this back. Stop sharing, because I was going to include the sound there because I didn't have the sound. And when you have to share the audio, and then I share the audio, that's when I have to mute myself. Okay, Chris, now what you're going to do, do you want to go ahead and introduce, because you're the one that actually put this video together. Do you want to go ahead and introduce it and let us know what we're doing here?
Yeah, what I was going to do, Eric, do you want me to share my screen and do the video for the first little bit until you can fix up the YouTube for Tasco with comments and everything?
Oh, yeah.
And then after we do a couple of commenting, we can get you to load it back up if you want, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
But I just want to get everybody in YouTube being able to get some comments.
Yeah, let me get over there.
Share my screen, and you can go ahead and allow me to show it on the screen, please.
Okay, let me bounce over here. Share screen. Add to stream.
There we are.
And please make it full screen, Mr.
Yes, sir, I will.
Hold on. I did
something. There you go. Is that better for you, Mr. Adam?
No, here we go. There we go. That's even better, right?
No problem. Let me know if you can hear it.
Do you want the question?
Yeah, we can hear it.
Every baby is born submitting to its natural instincts. Yeah? When it comes out of mother's womb, when it's up on the teeth, when all of these things, when it cries, when it's got a day nappy, and when it cries when it wants food. This is natural instinct that's been given by whom? Its creator. I believe in the creator. Okay. Muslim means the one who submits to the will of their creator. So we believe all children, all babies, are all born submitting to the will of their creator. Other or animals submitting to the will of their creator, because they only work on instinct, nothing else. Now a baby...
All right, so what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and we'll stop it there, because what I want to do is I want to stop it in between each of the clips so that we can talk about the clips in between. We can get Adam, we can get John, we get DL in here, we can get Eric with his 2 cents. Now, what I got from that first argument by the big Lion of Dawa, the EF Dawa debater.
What does that stand for, Chris? Do you even know what that stands for, EF?
So, it's on their website.
Embarrassing fools.
So I just did. Yeah. Yeah. But I've been poking fun at Darren Mayat or Hamza Mayat, whatever you want to call him, for the last little while now, because a lot of people have been trying to get me to go on to the EFDAWA and debate them and whatnot. And they just, to me, it's just they have a lot of illogical arguments. But here in the first clip, we see that a Muslim means submission to the will of their creator. So therefore, your instincts is the will of the creator. And that's how he described it, right? The instincts of a baby feeding. The baby submits to those instincts. So therefore, the baby is submitting to the will of its creator. Therefore, the baby is Muslim. Same with animals and everything else. So, in that instance, what we can say is that it is Allah's will for mosquito to suck your blood and to bite you and stuff. It is Allah's will. Like all these gnats, like, does he really understand how stupid his argument actually is? It's like anything can be attributed to that. So therefore, when I submit to my hunger and I eat supper tonight, I am therefore a Muslim while I'm eating, even though I still worship the true and only triune God. So to me, when he makes this type of argument to try to say that everybody's born Muslim, it just falls on his face because he's using the wrong analogies to try to get his point across. Anybody else got anything in there?
I was gonna say this is the purpose of this argument. You always have to look at the motivation for bringing an argument to the table. And the number one reason to bring this argument to the table is the objection of original sin. When Muslims will say that a baby is in complete submission to Allah, is born sinless, is born in a state of tea and grace. Okay. The moment that baby starts taking its first breath, that baby is being selfish because they're only, and this is just the human instinct. This is the human condition. This is the flesh. This is what happens. But when you raise a child, that child is going to be disobedient. The child is always going to be disobedient. Chris, you have 5 kids, yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When did you start noticing that they would disobey you?
Like, immediately.
Yeah. Well, I would say as soon as they start understanding what you're trying to get them to do. When you say, come here, but and they turn around and go the other way, like, I'm going there. I'm going to go do what I want to do. So this state of rebellion that you always have against your parents and against God is something that you were born with. And the easiest way to settle this issue is to simply ask, has there ever been a man, a human being, that was ever in complete submission to God, his entire, man or woman, his entire life?
May I?
Other than Jesus.
Well, we know, okay, but see, this is again, original sin is inherited by the Father. It comes through the Father. Jesus did not have a biological father. His father was God, so therefore he did not inherit that sin nature. This is the thing that Muslims just miss all the time, the necessity to be virgin, because they'll say, well, Jesus was virgin born. Well, why? What's the purpose of being virgin born? This argument right here, original sin, sin that is passed from the father to the children, from Adam to all of his children and through generation and generation until you get to Christ, who did indeed live a sinless life in perfect submission to the will of the Father. And it proves the point.
Let me destroy them by a sunnah.
Go ahead, Adam. Adam, go ahead.
Share my screen. Yes.
Go ahead.
This is Sahih al-Bukhari 6595. And the Prophet said, Allah puts an angel in charge of the uterus. And the angel says, O Lord, it is semen. O Lord, it is now a clot, which is simply false. It cannot be a clot of blood. Anyhow, O Lord, it is now a piece of flesh. And then if Allah wishes to complete its creation, the angel asks, O Lord, will it be a male or a female? And a wretched means an evildoer, or a blessed doer, or a good doer. So basically, while the person is in the womb of the mother, his fate, which is called takdir, is written down whether he will go into hell or heaven. And this guy just said that every human being is created as a Muslim, and so all the Muslims are evildoers as well? Like, that's what the hadith is saying of Sahih al-Bukhari 6595. How much will his provision be? What is his age, etc., etc., whatever? While the creature is still in the mother's womb. Do they reject Sahih al-Bukhari suddenly to say this thing? At the same time, you guys brought up Jesus, so let me give you Jesus as well. This is Sahih al-Bukhari once again. Same chapter, Kitab Bad al-Khalaq, beginning of the creation. And it says, the Prophet said, when any human being is born, Satan touches him at both sides of the body with his two fingers, except Jesus, the son of Mary, whom Satan tried to touch but failed, for he only touched the placenta cover inside. So Satan touches you while inserting his hands inside the woman, and you know from where. And he just touched the placenta of Mother Mary, and he could not touch Jesus. And all the ahadith and all the Quran actually agrees to the fact that Jesus was the only sinless person ever born in the face of earth. And that's everyone agrees on that, even the Muslims. So by the way, according to Sahih al-Bukhari alone, let alone me going into other ahadith, this is a falsified argument. And by the way, there are multiple Quranic verses which actually says that Muhammad is the first Muslim, but then they have to hide the contradiction within Quran by saying, oh, no, he was the first Muslim within in Arabia. Okay, then didn't Abraham so-called build the Kaaba according to Islam? Like, don't be stupid here with me. But anyhow, I'm not going there.
You sure those hadith are da'if?
No, these are Sahih. These are all Sahih.
That's what, okay. Well, even the Sahih ones, they don't believe some of those, right?
Oh, this is a later thing. This is a new thing. So when the internet came into being and the apostasy rised, so that is when they are trying to demoralize or destroy the Sahih ahadith. Like, if you see before 2005 or 2000, they were like proclaiming them left, right, and center. And that's the reality of the situation. Like, look at all the older debates which you can find online. They do not denounce Sahih al-Bukhari. Now they are doing that, because now we can read them on the internet in split second and show it.
The thing here that's going on, I agree with you wholeheartedly. If you look at the older Muslims that are doing their dawah and whatnot, they're telling the facts. Even the death to apostasy and everything else, that they're getting right to the bottom of it. They don't care. That's what they believe. Like it or dislike it, basically, is their view of it. And that's why I think a lot of the younger Muslims are trying to keep them off online, right? Because it's going to drive them away. But to hammer your point home as well, Eric, about the original sin thing,
mm-hmm.
We can go to Psalms 51, and this is David, of course. Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So while he was in the womb, he was in sin. And he acknowledges this. So I don't understand how a Muslim can get around the original sin. Because I've even talked to a lot of Jewish people. Original sin is a concept in Judaism. Not all of Judaism, but there's a good percentage of Judaism that does accept the original sin. Now, do you want to get to the next clip, Eric?
Sure. Yeah.
By the way, for the original sin, it is also present in Sunnah. There are multiple ahadiths which describe the original sin, and Adam was removed from the. So let me share this one more, so that because the original sin came up, I would like to do original sin sometime later as well. But the shortest original sin is this: the Prophet said the believers will keep waiting on the day of resurrection as long they'll become worried and say, "Let us ask somebody to intercede for us from our Lord." Then they will go to Adam and say, "You are Adam, the father of the people. Allah created you with his own hands, with his own hand, yadaihi, and made you reside in his paradise and ordered his angels to prostrate before you," which is sajada, which is the word for worship, "and taught you the names of all things. Will you intercede for us with your Lord so that he may receive us from his from this place of ours?" Adam will say, "I am not fit for this," okay, undertaking. He will mention his mistake he had committed, i.e. his eating of trees, though he had been forbidden to do so. He will add, "Go to Noah." So then he will, Noah will say, "Go to Abraham." Abraham will say, "Go to Jesus," because Jesus committed no sin, etc., etc. But like, imagine this. There are other hadiths where Adam is saying that, "I have committed a sin which was written for me 40 years before my creation." So Allah preordained his committing of this particular sin. It's not difficult to find these things, but like it will going to change our topic, so I'm not going to go over there. But this original sin is already there, no matter how you see it. They try to hide these things. Once again, this is Sahih al-Bukhari. After Quran, the most authentic book for Muslims is Sahih al-Bukhari. It is now the latest things, like 5-7 years ago, that they started to denounce Sahih al-Bukhari. Otherwise, previously, this was one of the...
Why would they be denouncing him? Why would they denounce him?
Because it shows such stupid things. Muhammad is so immoral in this book. The last thing he did was he peed in basin, and his mouth was filled with the saliva of Aisha, and his head was on the bosom and between the cheeks and the bosom, not chin and the bosom, when he died. Like these kind of things. Like look at what, like you can go on these things and you see like very strange Muhammad, which is not according to the Muhammad of course the Sunni. So.
Well, what we'll do, okay, what we can do at the end, we have time at the end of the program, if you remind me. Rad, is he here? Where is he, Chris? Did he say he was coming or no?
Not yet.
My goodness. Okay, well, he posted, was that you or was that Rad that posted that link today in the Skype about the apostasy?
Rad.
Was Rad? Okay, we could play that. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at that. I'm like, holy cow. The number of Muslims that are apostatizing from Islam today is just, it's ginormous. Yeah. I mean, it's like a complete falling away. And I think what you're saying here is absolutely 100% correct, because now they're having the ability to read these sources for themselves. They're able to go in there and research and say, okay, well, you know, my mom says that, you know, our prophet would never have had sex with a little girl when he was 54 and she was 9 years old. And well, you
Sahih
go,
Bukhari,
right.
Sahih Bukhari clearly says that she was 9 and she was playing with dolls, and playing with dolls is,
and that's, and that's
because it's an adultery. So she was playing with dolls because she was prepubescent. And that is why she was alone. So Muhammad had sex with a prepubescent girl, according to Sahih al-Bukhari. The problem is that if you keep on telling these Muslims that Sahih al-Bukhari is not accurate, this is going to keep in the mind of the normal Muslims nowadays. I and a lot of people were the previous age, where before millennia, where we had read certain things from Sahih al-Bukhari, kept it as the authentic book, and we kept on thinking like that. Quran is perfectly preserved. Bukhari is the writer, most authentic writer of ahadith. Muslim is the most, Sahih al-Muslim is the most authentic. So when we suddenly see all these things, we realize the stupidity and idioticity in the Islamic religion teaching. But if you keep on telling these people, the new Muslims, hey, this is wrong, these are written much later, okay, then where is the early ones? But like now, you know, our job is tougher to get them to see the reality.
Yeah, and that's my point. Well, my point, was somebody talking? I didn't hear, I thought I heard somebody.
Oh, hello, sorry.
Oh, that was DL.
I want to... respond. I just wanted to introduce myself. Hello, everyone. My name is John. Okay.
Hold on. Just a second. How did you find my program? How did you find this program?
I looked up live stream open panel, and that's how I found it on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about something y'all are saying, but I want to let y'all finish.
No, go ahead. What's your point? Go ahead. What's your point?
My point, I was more of an observation. You were talking about original sin. I don't know much about Islam, but when it comes to the Christian Bible, I do have a little bit of understanding. So when you're talking about original sin, and basically like everyone goes to hell until they receive like Jesus into their heart, right? Something along those lines. Like you can't go to heaven without receiving, without confessing with your tongue that and repenting from your sins that Jesus is Lord.
Right. Okay. This is the Roman road.
Amen.
Stuff.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
You're saying that everyone's a sinner and we're all simple. I was wondering, how does that apply to Enoch? Because didn't Enoch just go up into the sky after he did what he had to on earth? God mm-hmm. literally took him up into heaven?
Sure. Yeah.
Without even having to die? How does that work when it comes to people being sinners and going to hell for just being born?
Yeah.
How does that work? I just want to say, as far as I'm aware.
No, John, that's okay. That's okay. Go ahead, Chris.
No, yeah. And first off, you might have been mistaken. There's no way that Enoch would have been alive when he went into heaven, anyways. Depending on what happened within the transition from earth to heaven, there would have had to have been a death. We do know that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. So therefore, no, Enoch, I do not believe, could have been alive at that point in time. Plus, the prior
point. Well, my point is that he went to heaven. That was the main point. Not if he was physically alive when he ascended into heaven.
I'm addressing the whole part of it. There's a few parts of it you were mistaken, and I was just trying to clear them up, just so that if you were talking about it again, you wouldn't make the mistake by saying he went into heaven without dying. It you just did. That's all. Right.
Yeah, I thought that was what it said. Like he didn't have to face death, or death didn't come upon him, or something. I thought that was part of scripture.
Right. No, that you may have believed that death didn't come upon him on earth to get brought up into heaven, but the problem is that he would have had to die from between earth and heaven. There's no way that blood and flesh can inherit the kingdom of God.
All right. Hi, guys. Hello.
Hello, Dominic. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I just shot up a line of fucking coke in my notes.
Oh. You want to get rid of him?
Yeah, that's...
You want to get rid of John?
Do yeah.
You think this is... Somebody's giving out our link.
Yeah, that's not right. It's too easy.
You left a link up on... When I asked if I could join, and somebody put the link on the live chat. I'm not a troll. I honestly want to talk. But trolls do follow me around. That's...
Yeah, I just... That's... That, yeah, I, yeah, well, I took... I'll tell you, John, I did take a risk with you. But I was watching your screen very carefully, and I always had my thumb or the little hover button over your icon here where I could eject you immediately if I had to. Okay. Let me just go ahead and, talk about this Enoch, and when we start talking about people from the Old Testament, people from the Old Testament not being covered under the sacrificial atonement of Christ. God has made covenants with man since the beginning of the world. You have the Adamic covenant with Adam. You have the Noahic covenant with Noah. You have the Abrahamic. You have the Mosaic covenant. You have the Davidic covenant, and you have the new covenant with Jesus Christ. When you look at the Enoch would have been under the Adamic covenant, if I'm not mistaken. And when we think of the Adamic covenant, that is more or less a relational thing between God and mankind. And if people are obeying God's word and being righteous as you possibly can in the fleshly mode, there are ways that God would accept you as a believer. When we think of the new covenant is, okay, you people can't ever get any, I mean, God is just saying you people can't get any, ever do anything that I ask you to, especially when you look at the Mosaic covenant. You know, here are my laws, just obey my laws and everything's gonna be fine. Well, they couldn't even do that. So God has had covenants with mankind throughout history to demonstrate that the only person that can keep that covenant is God himself. And under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, this is where God has made it so, I don't want to say so simple that even an idiot can understand it. But the fact is that all you have to do, according to if you read the Roman Road, and it sounds to me like you've been exposed to the Roman Road, if you confess with your mouth that, or if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you confess with your mouth that how does that go? Somebody help me out with that. If you believe in your heart that if you believe that, you know what I'm saying. I can't remember that verse off the top of my head, but that's part of the Roman road. All you have to do is just confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. Now you have to repent. Of course, you have to repent of your sins, turn away from your sins. But his sacrificial atonement is what pays that price that you and I cannot pay.
Yeah, but actions, this is the thing that I was arguing with some people. I feel like we're preaching apostles' doctrine. Action definitely is required in belief. Like, belief is an action word. And if it says you'll be known by your fruits. Like, God will know you by his fruits.
Oh, I agree. You definitely, there is works that we do, for sure. But we don't do them because we have to do them to obtain salvation. We do them because we want to do them out of the love of God, not because we have to do it for some type of salvation. But I agree. We as Christians, because we love God, we do the works of God. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, can we – I'm sorry, John. We want to get back on top, unless you had something to add to that.
No, I don't have nothing to say when it comes to – Muslim or no, the last thing, Adam and Eve, I mean, there was a whole thing, but we can talk about it a little bit later, unless you're going to kick me off right now. I had some issues with Adam and Eve and the creation story. I wanted to ask somebody who is versed in the Bible, like, their thoughts on my thing, but I know we are specifically talking to, I'm not sure what his name is right now, about Muslim, I forgot what the religion's called.
Yeah, we're not really talking to anybody right now. What we're doing is we're going through a list of clips that I've put together of the worst Muslim arguments of 2020. We're going through a few of the clips, and then we're just addressing how ridiculous arguments are that they're
using. Okay. All right. Well, one last question, and it's not about Muslim. It was about the creation story, you know, Genesis, it talks about in the beginning, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. And I started looking at the and I was like, wait a minute, this is kind of weird, because in the first part, it says on the sixth day, you know, God created man and woman, and he created them. He said, let us create man and woman in our image, in man. Man and woman, we will create them, or male and female. But if you go on to read a little further, it talks about Adam being created on the third day. And I was like, what?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. This is a common argument used by atheists against the Bible, saying that the first chapter and the second chapter of Genesis are contradictory. If you look in the second chapter of Genesis, I believe it's in chapter 2, or it's verse 2, or maybe verse 3. Let me just take a glance here right now. But what you find there is what we call a teledote. A teledote is, let's see, this is okay, but the seventh day, then God blessed the seventh day. This is okay, I'm sorry, it's verse 4. It's a teledote. This is the count of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day of the Lord that made the earth and the heaven. And in this teledote, this is a summation of what has come before. And a lot of times you'll find atheists, and I've engaged these guys for years, they'll say that, well, you have a contradictory story in chapter 2 because they do not follow the order that you find in chapter 1. So therefore, it's a contradiction. And that's completely disproven by verse 4 here, because it says that this is the account. The account meaning this is a summation of what happened. So when you're giving a summation, you do not have to provide the exact order of the events in which they did occur. You're just summarizing here. This occurred, this occurred, this occurred, this occurred. It doesn't mean that they happened in that order. It's just that they did occur. And he's just summarizing chapter 1. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, I was aware that it was like a recap of the last chapter, but I don't think it's contradictory. I thought it was maybe telling a story that was kind of hidden to history, I guess, or something. But I guess I wish we could sit down and like pull out the Bibles and just like so I can point to you with my hands like what I'm trying to say, because literally there's a part where it says on before there was it was like when okay, but that's the conclusion that you said that you came to. So I understand where you're coming from. You're saying whoever wrote it, when they retold the story, they just jumbled it up and they told it kind of like however they wanted to, or
well, no,
it wasn't in order basically, and they did it.
I was gonna say you're not saying it. When you give a summary, happened, you don't have to keep it in the exact order that it happened. As long as you summarize all the events that they actually happened, it doesn't matter what order that you summarize them in. So it's not like he was confuddling it or anything else like that.
Yeah, I've had these discussions, and John, I'd be willing to set some time aside to talk to you about the Book of Genesis if you're truly interested in that. But we have to get moving on the show tonight, though.
Yeah, appreciate you. I would definitely subscribe, and hopefully you do get to do that. So
okay, send me a friend. Do you have a Facebook account?
No, a lot of my stuff gets hacked into. Like, I talk about these issues, these questions I have. I talk about them to atheists, scientists, and like religious.
Okay.
Religious.
If you look at the private chat, I'm gonna put my email address here in the private chat. And
if you want to add me, if you look up Chris Claus anywhere, send me a message sometime. I could probably even get you in touch with Sam Shimon. Maybe get you on his podcast or his live stream.
Yeah.
Well, if you have certain comments about that as well.
I don't mind, yeah. I don't know who it is, but I don't mind talking to somebody knowledgeable in the Bible. I believe
Thank
okay.
you.
I appreciate you. I'm going to get it right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, Mr. John. Merry Christmas to you, sir. Okay, Chris.
All right, so I asked you to allow me to hear again.
Okay, there we go. We see it. Go ahead, sir.
Excellent. So I'll play. I think I'm going to play. I'll let you know when I stop anyway.
It's come from your scripture, come from Jesus. You told 12 men to walk with him, listen to their testimony. The same thing here with Jesus. Full fantasy about this revelation. I thought he was going to read from Lord of the Rings next, yeah? It was dragons and all sorts in Revelation. You didn't need to stop with just simple, what you did. It's a dream. There's no way to verify a subjective dream.
Keep it going safely. All right. Then
can you stop at a dream, please?
Yeah. Time already? Stop.
No, just a sec. Just a sec. I'll let you have it.
I mentioned earlier about your heretical beliefs. I wasn't quite sure about it. You seemed to confirm you did have. I'm just wondering, what is your belief and how you understand the idea of the Trinity? If you do.
Okay. My beliefs are 100% based on the Bible. So, nowhere in Scripture does it mention Trinity. So, do I believe the Trinity?
All right. So, I just wanted to play that last clip. Sorry, Adam. So, I want to give you a little rundown again of what's going on here. So, we have the E.F. Dawa, Lion of Debaters, Darren Hamza Mayat, saying at first the followers of Jesus did not believe he was God and whatnot. Then in the next one, I think this is where Adam really wants to jump into, because I was thinking the same thing. But a dream is subjective, and you cannot get anything true or objective out of the dream, which he just he's not a Muslim anymore. And then I just wanted to play this last clip, because this was actually the debate that Darren Mayat had, the only one-on-one moderated debate that he's ever had, and he pushed this out like he was debating a Christian. Is Jesus God was the debate. The man's not even a Trinitarian. He just admits it. So Darren even knew the guy was not a Trinitarian, and still allowed him to come in and have that debate. It just shows you the level of dishonestness these men have to be able to show something like this or even debate a heretic. That would be like me going to a Baha'i and saying, let's debate, and then I present it as I'm debating a Muslim. Like, come on, people. But there is a lot more that I want to say. But I think that we should give it to Adam first. Eric?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, Adam, go ahead.
Go ahead, Adam.
Exactly. You guessed it right. What was Muhammad's dream? Anyways, he rode on a flying donkey with wings.
No, hold on. It was
a flying donkey?
Well, okay. Well, all right. All right. They called it the Barak. I mean, it wasn't a donkey. It was a Barak.
What about his first revelation in the
cave?
Yeah,
first revelation was by a Satan. For him, he thought that
dream,
it was though. A Satan. Siratul Nabi by Ibn Hisak, it was a dream. But in the later some of the Ahadith, it was not a dream. So let's try to figure that out. So let the Muslims fight about it instead of we fighting about it. So let them fight about it, whether it was a dream or not. But at the same time, 90% of the Muslims already agree that traveling on the Burak was probably a dream of Muhammad because time was not moving. And the rest of the 10% were saying that he time traveled, in other words. But because before the time travel theory was invented by scientists, they were thinking that it was a dream probably because he was flying on a winged donkey, and then he went into Jerusalem and saw Masjid al-Aqsa, which wasn't even built there at that particular time, because it was built in like 690 something, like 70, 80 years after Muhammad's death. Anyways, at the same time, it is so stupidity to actually call a dream not a vision, because the only way any Muslim can actually have a divine inspiration after Muhammad being a prophet is through dream. Like if Muhammad, they can see Muhammad, they can only see him in dream. They can never even see Allah in the dream. They can see Muhammad, but in the dream. All of the Muslims agree to that fact. So it is like, if the dream is a problem for them, then they have to remove that, all the ahadith which relates to the dreams and the vision. At the same time, in the book of Daniel, the dream and the visions that Daniel saw before 1940 or 50, a lot of people used to say that this is the book which was written after the death of Jesus, because that vision and dream that Daniel saw was so accurate by the weeks that it is not possible for it. And by the way, in my part of the world, they still said it till 2007 and 8, because they didn't have the access to the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, and we were told that these are after Jesus, they just want to authenticate their own book, and they wrote it in this way. But now we have the Dead Sea Scrolls to authenticate it anyways. So, yeah. So if dreams and visions have a problem, then this is a big, big, big issue in their own scriptures.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Now, the only thing that I would state from that is, furthermore, in Bukhari, in his Sahih, states that the story of the first revelation begins with what is related on the authority of Al-Zuhri from Irwan, and all the way from Aisha, who narrated the commencement of the divine inspiration to Allah's apostle was in the form of good dreams, which came like a bright daylight. And the love of seclusion was bestowed upon him. He used to go into seclusion into the cave of Hira, where he used to worship Allah alone continuously for many days before his desire to see his family, till suddenly the truth descended upon him while he was in the cave of Hira. The angel came to him and asked him to read, of course. So we even have Aisha going for it. But yeah, needless to say, even if people want to disagree and say that the first revelation wasn't by dream, we have many revelations from Muhammad by dream.
Exactly.
So all of those revelations now have to get thrown out because of Hamza's brutal argument. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to add to this is the duplicity here. You know, one standard for, you know, us, and then another standard for Christians. When you start talking, oh, this was just a dream. It wasn't a dream. You read the first couple of verses of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his bond servants the things that were, are which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. So this is a communicated, this is being communicated to John by an angel. Oh, but no, this is a vision. Oh, but no, this is a dream. No. If you are going to say that Jibril gave Muhammad his, what do you call them, recitations or ayats or whatever, but you can't, John can't do the same thing. It seems to me that you are being very hypocritical and duplicit in your application of your theology here. So when they're making that argument, it's completely nonsensical. Now, there's a couple of people who've been making some comments in the chat about gingers. Ginger, what is this? Oh, here it is. Also having ginger here is extremely pious act among. Okay, I have my best friend's teaching. When people say, "Oh, you're calling him names," you're calling him Ginger. She has red hair, and she is constantly referring to herself as a ginger. So I'm just trying to get this out there before we get this gray cray.
Here's our gingers. Don't get all social justice.
Well, I'm just – it just kicked – because I just know it's coming. I know it's coming. So I just wanted
to head off. Ginger hair is due to the mehndi. So there's a specific henna. In English, it's called henna or mehndi. So basically, it's a specific kind of a coloring agent that you get from a plant. And Muhammad didn't have any jack at that time when it comes to chemicals and all to color the hair in a proper way. So he used to color his hair using the mehndi, which is from a plant, and it gives you kind of a ginger hair. They are like reddish, brownish kind of a tone that you will get eventually. And if you bathe a couple of times, it will come in more of a gingerish color after a couple of bathing. So yeah, that's the problem. They just try to imitate what Muhammad did, nothing more than that. So that's what it is. Then you played the video too far out, and in that video after that it said that nobody worshipped something like he did. They said some statement like that, worshipping of Jesus. Am I correct or I missed it?
Yeah, at the start he said the apostles didn't even believe that Jesus
believe,
was God.
Yes. Yeah. If Jesus was not God but the apostles, why were they worshipping him? So even in Matthew chapter number 2, when he was just a child, the wise men came and worshipped him. Matthew chapter 8 verse 2, the leper worshipped him. Matthew chapter 9, they worshipped him. 14, they worshipped him. Luke chapter 2, 37, worshipped him. Luke 24, 52, they worshipped him. John 4, 20, they worshipped him. John 9, 38, they worshipped him. Acts 10, 25, they worshipped him. Acts 13, 50, they worshipped him. Acts 16, 14, they worshipped him. Romans 1, 23, instead of worshipping the impressible God, they worship images resembling the man and resembling birds. So only use, so it is like in a contrary way, they said don't worship these people, worship the only true God, which is in Lord Jesus Christ as well. So I have done a full video, and another friend of mine who used to come here, Steve Hussein, he also did a full video on all the verses where apostles and people, when they saw Jesus doing the miracles or they were near Jesus, they worshipped him as God. He is God, came down as flesh.
Amen.
For us and died on the cross for our salvation. Yeshua Kuro Lazim.
One point I'd like to make, gentlemen, read a clip that was just played, is the issue he mentioned about the book of Revelation, when he started off by saying, how can we trust if it was just a dream? How can it be verified? Something to that effect was said in the clip that was just played. Two points I want to make on that. First of all, John didn't say he was dreaming. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. In the spirit doesn't mean that he was dreaming, lying in his bed, sleeping. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that the Spirit of God came over him and he saw things that a normal person would not be able to see. That's the first thing. The second thing is that he said that you can't verify what is it in the book of Revelation. You know, the book of Revelation is a mystery to a lot of people, and I'm going to say even to Christians, but definitely it's totally beyond Muslims to understand. They always, I always hear them talking about, oh, like the Lord of the Rings. The book of Revelation can be easily verified. If you take a look at the book of Revelation, I didn't do this calculation, but another theologian did. Two-thirds of every verse in the book of Revelation is either a direct quote or alluding to a verse somewhere else in the Bible. So to understand the book of Revelation, you have to have an understanding of what went before. Once we have that understanding that, hey, this thing is based on what was built before, then you can start to begin to understand the book of Revelation. The problem for Muslims is that they don't understand the Bible. They have no clue what it is talking about. So as a result of that, when you look at the book of Revelation, it's like Greek to them. They can't understand it at all.
Yeah, okay. So what we're going to do, what we need to do is we need to be pushing on. And I completely agree with you, George. You know, when you start talking about, you know, how did John receive this? This is, he's caught in the spirit. He's not, this isn't like he's having a dream or, and they often go to the, you know, the Paul's experience on the road to Damascus saying, oh, that was a dream. No. These are visions. They're something completely different. And when you start looking at the theology that encompasses them, to make this argument that they're just simply dreams is fallacious and dishonest at its core. Okay, so I got a message here and it says that we've gone through 1 minute and 40 seconds of a 10-minute video in an hour. And at this rate that we will be completing this around 11:15 this evening. I'm not staying here till 11:15.
I tried to shave our screen with you, Eric.
Okay. Let's speed things up here. All right, where'd Rad go? He was just here.
Yep.
All right.
Is my screen on now?
Yep. Yep. Okay, go ahead.
God's promised Abraham that he would have 12 princes, and from there they will spread all over. And indeed, we know, again, based on the Bible, that Hagar, Ishmael, were sent and settled in Mecca. He settled himself, in Acts or whatever. Maybe Brother Ijaz, if you're around, you could...
Hypocrite.
He talks about Hagar, and he talks about in Arabia.
So no, he doesn't.
Hold on, let me pull it up.
I'm going to go through two clips, and then I'll pause it. Guys.
Okay, all right.
What is the point that you're trying to establish here? That
the location where Hagar and Ishmael went were Arabia.
No, it wasn't.
He's shot in the desert.
Yeah, here, let me just go ahead and pause this just for a second here, guys. I'm not going to take it off the screen, but what he's actually looking for is Galatians chapter 4, verse 25, and it says, now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. That's what the mention of Arabia and Hagar mean when he says Paul mentioned Hagar in Arabia. It's Galatians chapter 25. Nobody's talking about it, so they can't get the reference for him. But I'm going to play the rest of this clip at the next one, and then we'll have Adam.
Was it in First Chronicles?
I think it was where Paul says it. But it's, I'm surprised you don't know this.
No, it's not common.
Well, common is common. For people who are actually interested in comparing their religions and actually call and make claims and challenge, they would know the basics. What I meant. But I think Deuteronomy, first chapter, it talks about the Lord comes from, Sinai, shines from Seir, and then.
No,
that's Abraham. Deuteronomy talks about how the law of God came from Sinai and from Seir. It talks about from Paran. And scholars have understood from this that he's not talking about the three prophets. Moses, the significance of Sinai, Seir, Mount in Palestine, in reference to Jesus, and Paran, which is from Arabia, Mecca. Mount Paran, if you type Mount Paran, you will see what it is. It's where the Islam defined the Sharia.
Alrighty, so I'm going to stop sharing it there. Now, we do know that that is probably the dumbest argument that we've ever heard in our life. First off, the guy, and the guy actually says, like, he's calling this Christian down on the live stream. Did y'all hear that? He's like, you know, usually people that are in this field that actually make claims know what they're talking about. And then he tries to say that in the first chapter of Deuteronomy, it speaks about the law coming from Sinai. Well, it's not Deuteronomy 1, sir. If you're actually a scholar in comparative religion, you would have known it comes from Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. Now, you completely butchered that verse, because what I wanted, or what I'm going to do is I'll read it here. And it does not say the law came from Sinai. It said the Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriad of his holy ones from the south of his mountain slopes. Sir, you just committed shirk. This Muslim from EF Dawah just admitted that Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad are all God by using that verse that he wanted to appeal to in Deuteronomy. Yet he's trying to call this Christian down, make the Christian feel stupid because he's not quoting the right thing. Well, this Muslim's not even reading the verse. And he changes the word law for the word Lord. He changes the word law for the word God. How much more dishonest can these Muslims actually be?
More than that, they actually destroy their own Quran by changing the meanings as well. So I'm going to go to the Genesis chapter number 25, verse number 13 that he was showing. But why was he not showing verse number 12 as well? Where it says that this is the account of the family line of the Abraham's son Ishmael, whom Sarah's slave, who was Sarah's slave, Hagar, the Egyptian born to Abraham. Multiple issues here, because that's why they do not go to 12, they just jump to verse number 13. So, verse number 12 is once again, the slave's son. A slave's son does not even get the, according to Islam, he doesn't even get anything. You know, that's not even his lineage. And the mother is just Ummul Walad, whom you can sell as a slave to somebody else for sex. And I've done multiple videos on that. And one of them is slaves, the woman, the capture of war, the right hand possess. So, once again, why don't you show where he was born? Ishmael, son of a slave of Sarah, Hagar. Okay, then you come to the verse number 13. It says, these are the names of the son of Ishmael listed in order of their birth, and etc., etc., etc. Now, show me in Quran.
Sorry. Hold on. Let me turn this off here. Let's just, there we go.
All right. So in Quran, you will find no verse which says that Muhammad was from the lineage of Ishmael. There is none. Even that Muslim says that Ishmael was the son that was being sacrificed is not from Quran as well. So Quran doesn't even mention jack about this. By the way, if you want to go and see where Muhammad might have come to, you can read verse number 1 to verse number 6. And yes, there could be a possibility that verse number 4 is saying the son of Midian was Ephra, and etc. All these were the descendant of Keturah. So maybe from a long stretch, Keturah or one of his sons could have gone there, because if you read in context, they were also thrown away and they were sent aside, but never from Ishmael anyways. So that's my 2 cents.
Okay, I wanted to point a couple things out here on this map that I have on the screen. I don't know how well you can see this, but when we start talking about the story of Hagar and Ishmael, this story is occurring clear up here in the land of Canaan. And when they're put out, this just, we would say probably straight east of the Dead Sea. I'm sorry, straight west of the Dead Sea. they are sent into the land of Beersheba. This is the desert that they're talking about. Down here into Arabia. This is considered where Edom is, and down here in Kedar, this is where is considered Arabia. So spatially, geographically, this idea that Ishmael was cleared out. Look at clear down here, 700 miles south in Mecca, building the Kaaba with Papa Abraham is completely ridiculous.
Not 700. Dude, it's like 1,400, 1,600. Check it out on Google Maps.
Kilometers or miles?
So in kilometers, it was 2,400 kilometers.
Okay, let's just split the difference. Let's say it's 1,700 meters or 1,700 miles or whatever. It's completely out of the spectrum of being believable as far geographically and spatially. When you look at where all these Mount Paran is up here, you go over here, Mount Sinai, when you had the Exodus and they crossed the Red Sea, they're talking about crossing right here at the Gulf of Aqaba. It's all occurring up here, not clear down here. How far is it, Adam? 2,400 miles or 1,700 miles or whatever?
Kilometers, 2,400 kilometers.
2,400 kilometers. Okay, it's too far. It's too far for an old man like Abraham to go, number one. But number two, to have Ishmael to go down there. It's just, for me, it's just being somebody who's taught geography and teaches geography. It's just unrealistic to try to put these things together.
And Ishmael, according to Ahadith, was just a child, a suckling child. So 1 year old suckling child. And he was crying on the sand. When Hagar put him on the sand, and Abraham saw or left, and he rubbed the sand with his knees while crying, and the Zamzam well erupted the water. And while Hagar was running between the two mountains I forgot the names.
Marwa and Safa, or Safa
and Marwa.
What is? Wait a second! I thought you're going to let some kufar outdo the form of. I'm starting to feel good about myself. Thank you. Thank you for getting that. I mean, that does a lot for my self-esteem.
Yeah, it's a fine word. So yeah, this, you know, have you ever been there? Okay, these two mountains are quite far apart, and it takes like a young man like me when I was there. It takes time, and it's hard, and that's it is so silly that they had two idols. Upon each and every mountain while Muhammad was alive, before the 40 years of Muhammad, and even after Muhammad had the revelation. Muhammad had been doing the Hajj before Islam as well. His father, so-called father, Abdullah, was a pagan. He died as a pagan, and he was crying for his father that he will not be able to intercede for him. He was crying for his mother. She was a pagan. Idol worshipper. She died before Muhammad so-called had the revelation, so Muhammad can intercede her as well. This is all in Ahadith anyways. So Muhammad was a pagan because that's what all the references shows us, and he was doing the Tawaf Kaaba before he was a Muslim so-called, and before he was a Muslim, all the Ahadith narrates Tawaf Kaaba was done naked. Tawaf Kaaba was done naked. And Tawaf Kaaba means the circling around the Kaaba. Okay, so this is now they have the covered stuff. I remember, like,
yeah, it was just I put up there. It's air conditioned now. You know, they got flat land, and you know, it's multi level, so yeah, they're just made a little bit easier.
Nothing was like that.
Okay, we got to get moving. Chris, let's keep going. Let me stop sharing. I got it. All right, we got to go. All right, Chris, go ahead. Chris, maybe I didn't read the message. Okay. 3:41. And
just got a lot of my video on this.
No, I got it. I got it. I got this. Okay, so let me come back to my stream here, share my screen. And share, make sure I do the audio, and then when I do share, I gotta mute myself. So you tell me when to stop, okay? Chris, you can let me know when to stop?
Please.
Okay, here we go.
disciples here. I mean, I'm using that word. I think we have to by using the word disease. If to go and bring out a vow, you mentioned that the disciples may have, people may have, that you are teaching that was no longer valid. When actually that is what you're teaching. The only word really I say is knowingly doing something that is not correct. As Brother Sadat said, what his position should have been is said, look, guys, I know we may have a misunderstanding, but my view is that the law no longer applies to Jew or Gentile. And he should have held his ground, especially as he was himself claiming to have received direct revelation from Jesus himself. So the fact that what he did was, in the face of the pressure from the disciples to say that no, you shouldn't be teaching against the law, and to prove that you're not doing that, carry out this vow, he bowed under that pressure.
The problem for me as a Muslim is that when I see that Paul effectively does this in front of the disciples to convince them that he won't preach these things anymore, and then he goes outside this council and then he does preach to people that you don't need to be circumcised, which is what you do today, which is that you can eat pork and all of these things, which is what Christians do today. Doesn't that cause Christians a lot of concern that he's gone against the disciples, the very people that lived and learnt the religion from Jesus firsthand, and he comes later on, has this vision that blinds him on the road to Damascus, and then he starts preaching things that the disciples are not preaching and that they don't want him to preach. And this is the man that you get all of your religion from. Oh, I mean, why does that not concern you? I don't understand.
Okay, did you want to stop there, Chris, or... Oops. Do you want to stop there? Where did Chris go? Did Chris jump off here?
Yeah. I was just saying that, Eric, if we could stop there, because that's a mouthful, that's a big chunk right there to discuss this issue of Paul, and was Paul teaching contrary to what the other apostles said. And that is just not correct. It's just not correct. And I'd like to, I would tend people's views, but maybe I can give you my take on it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Firstly, Paul, the other disciples, apostles, accepted Paul. And Peter called Paul's writings scripture. If you want the reference, I can give you. Peter called Paul's writings scripture. That's one. Two, Paul did not speak against the law of God. He didn't. Wow, you're going to say, how can you say that? Okay, so let us look at Romans 7, verse 12. This is Paul writing. Paul says, so then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. So Paul says, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, righteous and good. So, holy, righteous, good. Those are the characteristics of God himself. Paul is saying that the commandments is a summary of the very character of the true God. And this is important because this law and commandment of God separates the God of God, Yahweh, from Allah, who has no clue about this law. Allah has no clue about this law. So I'm at a loss as to why Muslims would be saying, oh, Paul is preaching against this law. The only thing they're concerned about is sport.
Okay.
That's all they're concerned about.
George. But the
speaker gave the law. Just one more point I'd like to make. They're speaking, Paul, they are defending the law, but their God doesn't defend the law. Their God, Allah, has no clue about the law. That law includes the seventh-day Sabbath. Does Allah defend the law? No. The seventh-day Sabbath is on Saturday, and the day is on Friday. Another quick point, the last quick point here of the people's feedback. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19, Paul again speaking. That's what Paul says. He says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. In other words, it doesn't mean anything. keeping God's commandments is not close. So what I get from this is Paul is separating the ceremony, the circumcision that the guy just mentioned a while ago. I don't know his name. He mentioned circumcision. It's not here nor there. It's not the same. What is important is being obedient to God's command. That's what Paul is saying.
Not only that, brother. But what he is saying also, if you think about it, in the form of the blood covenant, okay? Because every covenant that was made with God, is blood is shed. Okay, from the first covenant, okay, between God and himself walking in between the slain pigeon doves or whatever, the birds and the animals that were cut up, and God walks through with the lampstand and the candle while Abraham is sleeping. Every covenant was blood, so the covenant of the mark of the circumcision is in blood. Now, if you think about this, okay, Muslims, okay, now there is some controversy in it. Don't get me wrong, Muslim sects will say, you know, a male revert does not have to be circumcised, but most will actually say, yes, they do. They want to show their true faith from Allah. So they got to shed blood, okay, to get into Allah's cult. And if they leave, their blood has to be shed to leave Allah's cult. You see what I'm saying? Okay. But yeah, that's very deep thinking. I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah.
So anyhow,
I got a couple things I want. Yeah, I wanted to add. I want to add two real quick.
Adam, are you insulting me? No, I'm sorry. I don't know. You're like.
I'm agreeing with your point. That's a makarala.
No, I'm like, did you just call me a makala? What the hell? What is a makala?
Okay, I got two things I wanted to add to this. Number one. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. Therefore, beloved, since you look at all things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of the Lord, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, and also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort. Okay, so here you have an affirmation of Peter saying that Paul's letters and his teachings are of God. It gets worse for the Muslim. And when I say worse, I mean like way, way worse. Because when you pick up this little book right here, I don't know if you can all see this. Do you know what this book is? What do we call this book?
Siratun Nabi by Ibn Ishaq.
Yes, okay. And this is the biography of Muhammad. And in the biography of Muhammad, on page 653, it reads as follows. Those whom Jesus, son of Mary, sent, both disciples and those who came after him in the land, were Peter, the disciple, and Paul with him.
In the chat?
It's in the book. I can't write that in the chat.
It's in the book.
It's on.
There was this thing before the internet.
Page
653,
the beginning of the second paragraph. Those whom Jesus, son of Mary, sent, both disciples and those who came after him to land, were Peter, the disciple, and Paul. Okay, so if there's any disagreement that these guys have about the apostleship of Paul, they need to take it up with their prophet. Okay, we need to be moving along. Let's see if you guys got...
They destroy Paul because Paul destroys everything what Muhammad actually said, because that's the reality of the situation. By the way, if you read Acts chapter number 11, which all of you have, verse number 6 to 9, also agrees from eating, because he actually talked about eating of the pork and etc. So it actually destroys that as well. So I just wanted to give another 2 seconds.
Okay. Let's go ahead and bring this up. Let's play a couple more minutes here.
Echo.
What's up?
Mute yourself.
Oh my gosh! I'm okay. KK.
can't hear you. So you mind, but I can't hear you.
Okay. All right. Let me go back. You're kidding me.
You know, on a freedom of speech level, you shouldn't, couldn't. It's your thing. You can do it. You can get flagged for marketing. So, that's a because for us, I know this is very difficult, but when you attack the guru, so by law, I can attack the Sikh community's guru. I can attack and say more things, but you know I do.
Okay, remove the broom face.
I want to maintain good relations.
This broom is.
Okay, go ahead, Adam. Yeah. I'm sorry.
This broom face guy talked about insulting Muhammad. So, first thing first, and Allah, because he so-called love Allah and Muhammad so much. The problem with this statement is that Allah and Muhammad insulted all of the people except Muslimin. So, if you remove this broom face guy, yes, thank you. Allah said in Quran that Eric Smith, radical moderator, and all the people who are watching right now, because I don't see a single Muslim here, they are pigs. They are donkeys, first of all creatures. And that's what Allah is saying in the Quran. And they are dogs. Okay, they are very beautiful language has been used by Allah in Quran. When you talk about Muhammad himself, he actually killed, abused, and raped the women who were non-Muslim captures of war. And he gave the woman to anybody he desired. A man came, he said, oh, pick any woman from among the slaves that we captured. Like, it's like carrots. It's like distributing carrots. So where is the red line? You know, if you remove these things from Quran and Hadith, we will keep your red line. But once again, when you talk about red line, you need to first call Bukhari a hypocrite and idiot, because he said that Muhammad was a suicidal guy. According to him, Muhammad jumps off the mountain and so-called Jibreel came and stopped him. And then according to Bukhari, Muhammad was under the influence of a black magic. And he used to think that he did sex with his wives, and he did not. And then
all signs of a true prophet, clearly, Adam. All signs of a true prophet.
Exactly.
Okay. No. The thing that gets me about this guy, I'm sorry to interrupt here, but the thing that gets me about this guy, he's talking about red lines, do not do this, do not do this. And this is a dude, okay, who's sitting there talking about all kinds of perverted. I mean, we are talking people. I mean, I am not approved. Believe me, I'm a pervert myself. I am not approved, but I actually had to look these things up because I'd never heard of them. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me, dude. You know what I mean? I'm like, scrub my eyes. How can that even be sexual? That bad, okay? And this dude is telling all this stuff to David Wood, what's his name? The apostate prophet.
It was about their wives.
Right. Yeah, about their wives. And threatening to dox them and stuff and blah, blah, blah. He actually, you know what? My first, although I saw him at Speaker's Corner videos, but nobody really paid much attention to him. But anyway, when he did that first debate with David Wood, and I don't know if David Wood caught it, okay, but a bunch of us, we did catch this. After slamming David Wood constantly through the whole debate, okay, he actually says, I have no respect for him, and he spits on the ground. This guy, I have respect for scholars, you know, like James White and you know, Michael Brown, you know, all these, but this guy spits, you know, he does the spit thing. And then he says, you know, he is a mischief maker. What does that mean in the Quran? A mischief maker. What is that saying? He was actually threatening, giving the green light, okay, to whack David Wood. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And then he would actually sit there and say, well, I never told anybody to kill him. even though he gave the green light. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This dude, honestly, this dude is he actually scares me. Have you ever seen this? David Wood, I've met, okay, a couple times. David Wood is like 6'4", 6'5", okay? Look at the video. This dude is like 6'10", dude. He's a giant, dude. You know what I mean? If I saw that dude, I'd be, like, really scared.
Yes, a couple questions I'd like to read to you. Okay, so they say they love Muhammad. My mother, of blessed memory, she's dead. Do I love my mother? I love my mother. She's dead. She's not coming back. Can you say, I'm asking you, I'm throwing this out to you guys, two questions. The first one is, can you say you love Muhammad without realizing, without actually saying that he's God? I'm saying that the way they speak about him is as if he's omnipresent, as if he's still alive, he's immortal. That's the impression I get. I'd like to get your feedback on that. The second question is, I think it was somebody mentioned about Muhammad and paganism. His father was definitely a pagan, their own documents say so. And his name was what? Abdullah, right? And what does Abdullah mean? Abdullah means slave of Allah. So, to my understanding, the pagans were worshipping this god called Allah before Muhammad came on the scene. So, those two points I'd like you to comment on. Both this issue that Allah is the god of the pagans, and two, the way the reverence they have for Muhammad is as if he is a god.
Well, we know that
there is a problem. There are certain sect of Islam who believes that all the prophets and Imam can listen to you because they are present alive in Jannah and they can listen. Then there are certain sects of Islam, and I'm talking about the Sunni Islam, in fact, right now, not the Shias. They believe that no, this is not possible. They are dead. They cannot hear you. So now, for the question number one, it just depends which sect of Islam believer that you are talking with. And both of the sect of Islam will fight with each other till death on their own beliefs, and they will try to say the other is wrong. So that's the reality check over here as well. So it just depends which type of Muslim you are going to talk with.
Well, okay, so getting back to the first point, okay. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus says, unless you love me. Well, first of all, let's put this in context, okay? Well, I don't know if this is a specific context of the passage about the quote or paraphrase, but there is at least one point where a dude was saying, I'll come and follow you, but let me go bury my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, okay, so, you know, life is I'm for the living, not for the dead. In other words, no, you got to come now.
Let the dead bury their dead.
Yeah, let the dead bury the dead, you know. But the passage that I want to paraphrase here, he says, so in Mark, it's really explosive. Well, although, I don't know, probably modern translations have changed it, but the Greek is there. Hate. Unless you hate your mother, unless you hate your father, unless you hate your brother, your sister, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, and yes, even your very own life, you cannot be my disciple. Okay? So very clearly, he is laying down the law that, you know what? Okay? And in this context, I believe the Greek for the word hate is just kind of like the opposite of love. It's not mean like I hate you as my enemy kind of thing, but I could be wrong. If, you know, other people were here, they could correct me on that. But the bottom line is this. It is definitely saying, okay, that unless you love me more than anything else to the point of hating everything else, okay, you cannot be my disciple. In other words, you have to love me to the exclusivity of everything else, okay? All right?
Yes. For point two, show my screen again.
Well, think about this. The Muslim reaction, okay, to any perceived insult, either real, imagined, or whatever, okay, is extreme, I mean, irrational behavior, for one, if it's online, okay, or two, actual physical violence if it's in front of your face. You see what I'm saying? Okay? All right? So what does that tell you? That's telling you that they actually love Muhammad to the hate of everything else. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay? So they are actually doing what...
No, you're doing comparative analysis. Yes, no,
well,
you're doing comparative analysis. That
I'm just saying, okay? Well, we do that. We worship Jesus. Now, we don't react
we don't
the way they do. Well, we don't react the way they do, but everything that they are falsely reacting to, because they falsely worship, okay, the wrong person, okay? And that's why it becomes a false and it's such violent negativity, okay? Whereas we can worship and we can realize and just say, hey, we can walk away from it. You know what I mean? Okay? You see what I'm saying? So they don't have that contrast within them. But they do. I will tell you this. Every Muslim worships Muhammad, dude.
They don't. They do not worship Muhammad. In the context of Bible, yes they do.
Exactly.
But not from their context. Eric, show my screen. I want to answer question number two.
Well, their context doesn't matter because they have to rely on our context, which is the Bible. Their Quran tells them to. So, yeah. Anyway.
So question number two was Abdullah. So I'm going to write Abdullah. Abdullah. What can you read? Can you read? Anybody who can read Arabic?
It looks like Wisconsin to me.
Okay.
Oh, no, it does.
Okay. It actually says Abad. Okay, this is Abad. Mm. And this is Allah. So it should actually be written A-B-D-U, Abad, Allah. It should be written like that. But they write it like this. They write it like this. But they read it like this. Abdullah. Abdullah. Abdul. So they read it as Abdullah. Which is, and they write it in English as Abd. A-B-D-U-L-A-H. Which becomes as Abad, the slave of La, which is La. So basically,
right.
It should be written as Abdullah, not Abdul Allah. So if it is Abdul Allah, they have to pronounce it as Abdul Allah, not Abdullah. Abdullah, which simply means Abad, Abad means slave of La. L-A-H, La. And La was a pagan god anyways. La was a pagan god anyways. So it should be Abad, Abad, A-B-D, Abdul means of La, which is the pagan moon god. Okay, moon god. So the problem is that if you go into Arabic, it is very clear. So it should be pronounced as Abdullah, Abdul Allah, right? Abdul Allah. If you actually have to say Abdullah, then you actually have to write it like this, not like the above. This is like, you know, you pronounce it differently than they write it, because they have to write full Allah. Otherwise, they cannot pronounce it the way they pronounce it. This is another problem. Then that is why they say, I'm going to add another phrase, who is Allah? So a lot of people say that it is a combination of Al-Ilah. Okay? Ilah means God. A lot of latest people are saying that. Once again, this is not a very old one. And Al means the. Okay? So the God. And that is why the kalama is La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. Okay? There is no God. Ilah simply means God. So they can say the God. But the problem is...
Okay, dude, you're going to like explode my head with all this, dude. Seriously, man. It's like...
I'm trying my best to...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're
going to
run out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, that's okay. I just wanted to add a couple things before we wrap the show up. Rad, did you have something else that you want to add to this? Or?
I just want to say that, you know, the reason that I was so late is I was dealing with our legal department. Evidently, our Camel Milk Cola commercial was so successful that some Muslim viewers of our show
right.
Which will remain anonymous, actually tried the concoction, and they got sick, really bad. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, so they're threatening a lawsuit. So basically,
we're gonna threat. They're threatening us with a lawsuit.
Yes, exactly, dude. You know what I mean? So after discussion with legal, we had to cobble together a full disclaimer.
Okay.
Camel Milk Cola is no longer going to be a sponsor of the show, but don't worry, we do have other sponsors. But yeah, so I got to play the disclaimer.
Okay, hold on. Before we get to the disclaimer, I wanted to add one last comment about Muhammad prays for, or Allah prays for Muhammad, not two. Okay, number one, this guy is a hypocrite. You guys touched on this, when he starts talking about, well, you don't want to engage people that way, you don't want to be offensive, when he starts talking about the wives of other apologists, that's a scumbag. I don't care how you try to categorize it. That's a scumbag that does these kind of things. And this is exactly what he was doing. He was talking about using some of the – what he was doing is using some of the most offensive language that you could possibly do or use to about somebody's wife, number one. Number two, he alludes to the fact that we just don't understand how much Muslims love Muhammad and that to say anything about Muhammad is offensive. They loved him with more than their lives, the wives of their parents. Shut your pie hole. We love Christ just as equitably, if not more, because we love Christ as the Son of God, not just some man who lived a very compromised life, but as the perfect man, the man for all time, who has given his life as an atonement for our sins. And when we start looking at him say, well, we Muslims, we get offended when you say bad things about Muhammad. Do you think Christians feel when you say that Jesus didn't even die on a cross, when you deny one of the most demonstrable historical facts from antiquity, when you deny what he did for us?
Yes.
So when you feel that butthurt, buddy, or boy, or what was it, were you spitting out the things that he did? It just demonstrates your duplicity and your hypocrisy. So I don't want to hear this. Oh, you guys are offending us. You can't say anything bad about Muhammad. You live in the West. You don't like it. Go to Pakistan, and you won't have to worry about hearing it. Okay.
Yeah, will apply on you.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. I knew Adam would throw that law out there for us. Okay. Now we have.
It seems like a broken record. But you know why I say that every time? Because the stupid, idiotic law made me a criminal. Imagine that. This law made me a criminal just by saying that he was not a prophet and hence I apostate. This made me a criminal. Why would I not speak about it every time? You know what I mean?
I would too.
Some of my favorite people are criminals. Anyway, guys, I really got to play this legal disclaimer, okay? Because
all right.
Otherwise, we're going to get sued.
Yeah, we got to get this out here because this Camel, what is it called?
Camel
Milk Cola. You know, and it, I'm going to tell you, when I was drinking it last week, it didn't make me sick at all.
It didn't bother you?
I was rubbing it on my body, in my hair, and I had this sheen.
Yeah, because it's also a conditioner and a perfume too.
That's what I heard, and I slept outside too. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Let's
play. Quiet. Cross
Camel suggests camel urine increases energy. Ingesting camel urine even in small quantities will cause to not cure the following parasites, viruses, and bacterial infections. Rabies, MERS, and more virus and bacterial infections, including Pasteurella, Salmonella, Brucella, Yersinia, Enterobolitica, Campylobacter, Capsis esophaga, Bordetella bronchoseptica, Coxiella pernicia, Virus, Staphylococcus intermedius, and Methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus. The Frost and the Crescent.com is not responsible for death or death caused by drinking camel urine, fresh or fetid. Do not drink camel urine even in moderation.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it, kids. Muslims out there, do not drink. In spite of it was a sponsor of our show, we were not aware of the hazardous side effects, okay, at the time. We cannot be held responsible. And Eric, you know, he was our sampler. He drank the concoction.
It was free. Why not?
Look at him. He, you know, yeah, he's I don't understand what happened, but it is no longer a sponsor of this show.
Oh, gosh.
And
it's
like he removed all his mustaches and beard.
Well, it actually, I had this glowing, and I couldn't stand it. It was. Oh, Red, you are so bad. I can't.
You see what happens? Oh, dude, you have no idea what is coming. Well, it's not going to be on Islam. It's going to be on politics. But no, seriously, me getting banned from Facebook and having nothing to do, my mind has exploded, dude. You know what I mean? I'm pretty much done with the Islam bets because I got to work on the other
football. Okay, I get it. Okay.
You know what I mean? We got to do. Oh, no, no. I will do one other. Okay. Yeah. There's more to come. Okay.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we'd want them to be a sponsor based on the results from this week. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it. Could I feel giddy all night now after watching that? Everybody that came, I saw Issa, you came in late, my friend. I'm sorry about that. Darcy has been in the chat all night. She's been all over the Nim Grace. Also, John Isaac, he came in. He was here earlier, but then he jumped over to chat. And let's see, JIB. I don't know what JIB means, but he was here, and we appreciate that and your contributions. And we had who else? Ben was here. John Lear was here. I'm going to miss somebody. Oh, and all those other scumbags that try to crash the show, they were here, but they got the boot relatively quick. And everybody that was on the panel tonight, George, thank you for coming. Chris Claus, thank you so much for doing the video. And we still might – we still have another 2.5 minutes left of this, and the ones at the end are actually better, I think. Yeah, and we'll make a point to do it, because Chris, you know, he sent me a message here, and he said he stayed up till 2 o'clock last night. That's why he had to leave doing it, getting this together, and he's just wiped out. So I get it. For those of you, if we don't see you between now and Sunday, you all have a blessed and Merry Christmas, celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate. We will see you all on Sunday on Crossing the Crescent Discussion Group. God bless you. We'll see you then. Okay.
Like it's usually 2 hours, right?
I schedule it for 2 hours, but I like to keep it under 1.5. And the reason why is because normally Tuesdays, I need to end this episode. Sorry. Let me end this. Blog Talk Radio, folks. We'll see you soon.